Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is Jet Large Technology Task Force call on the 7th of January, 2014. On the call today, we have Devon Antaluk Singh, Bill Fannis, and Gordon Silcott. From staff, we have Reed Quinn, David Crossan, Josh Falsch, and myself, Nathalie Peregrine. And we have an apology from Olivier Crépin-Leblanc. I would like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Dev.
Thank you very much, Natalie. This is David Ann speaking. Well, first, welcome to everyone to this call, and I would like to thank the guests, David, Josh, and Reed, for attending, and of course, best new wishes for 2014. So let's just look quickly at our just a review of the action items from the previous call. I'm just going to go ahead to agenda item number two. And one of the key action items was to to email ICANN staff regarding separate versions of Confluence for testing reasons. Well, this was done, and in fact, this will be on our agenda today. And most of the action items from October have been done.
Silvia Vivanco.
So,
joined.
Let's move ahead now to the next item, which is the collaborating with ICANN's IT staff regarding Adobe Connect. Just to introduce the topic, Adobe Connect is, of course, the conferencing solution used by ICANN and by ICANN at large for its various reload meetings, working groups, and so forth. There's been several complaints over time, and have become more recent that persons who are especially using Linux aren't able to use the Adobe Connect rooms effectively. And there's also been concerns that has been raised by at large about how certain things have worked. We've created a one-pager about Adobe Connect to try to explain the two of the key problems that end users typically face when they connect to the Adobe Connect room. And that's been, we've discussed this in previous calls, and I have the link in the agenda. But the discussion is really to what are the other Adobe Connect features that could be useful for at large? And I see, we have David Clausen and Josh. How do you pronounce your surname, Josh?
It's Balch.
Balch. Thank you. Josh Balch from ICANN, who are part of the ICANN's IT staff, and I'm the most familiar with Adobe Connect. So I'm glad both of you are here on this call, and I guess I'll just turn the floor over to you. How can we look to resolve these issues regarding the reports that we've gotten regarding Adobe Connect? Users connecting to Adobe Connect using Linux and finding they are unable to do so. Joshua or David?
So from the Linux perspective, what we have discovered, at least with the one person who had submitted a ticket that I have seen, basically, as long as their web browsers are up to date, it should function correctly. The add-in that Adobe Connect offers does not work on a Linux platform, but the web browsers do. There are a few limitations with that. Being the presenter. So if you have somebody who's acting as a host or a presenter, there are some limitations on the documents that they can share. That is something that I would just consider a shortcoming for the Linux users. However, as a participant, they should see no difference, in what they're, seeing as a participant that anybody else would be. It just is more of a challenge on the presenter host side, those that are sharing documents. And like just typical documents should work fine, but that's kind of the I guess, half answer that I can give at this point for that.
Okay. Well, this is Dave. I think the reports increased when the Adobe Connect had a disclaimer inserted before persons connected to the Adobe Connect room. The disclaimer was essentially there was some text that you had to agree, you understand and write the terms and conditions.
Right.
I can't remember the exact wording right this second, but it was essentially saying, you know, rules for participating in ICANN meetings, and you had to click a checkbox to say that you understood this, and then clicked on Connect to the Adobe Connect room. And apparently what's been the feedback is that they get that initial screen, and when they acknowledged it and they click continue, they literally do not enter the Adobe Connect room at all.
Okay.
So that has been the troubleshoot. That's from two persons who have, since that new screen came up requiring.
Okay, well, that's actually good to know because I didn't know that. So I'll definitely, I'm in London right now, but when I get back into the office, I will work with some of the engineer guys in our office.
Okay. Thanks, David. I think that was Bill trying to speak.
Dev, this is David Clawson from
ICANN. Mm-hmm.
If you could let us also know which versions of Linux they're running and the browsers that are involved, so we can make sure that we can repeat the same steps.
Okay. Well, this is Dave. What I can suggest is when you're back at your office, Josh, we could schedule a conference call and I'll find that information out from the persons as to exactly what versions of Linux they're using. And what browser versions they are using, and so forth. I'll get that information for you, and then maybe we can then. What do you think? Then you'd be able to recommend a fix, and then ask the person to test it out, or do you want to try
Absolutely.
To do an online session? You know, how should I put it? Schedule our Adobe Connect troubleshooting call, so to speak,
and invite those
persons.
Yeah, I suppose we can definitely do that. But it would be helpful to make sure that we know the steps to repeat it. I know that what you've said, but if we can make sure we're using the same software,
okay.
That would be helpful.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, so I guess so one action item to capture is to get the information regarding the hardware that the person's...
The hardware doesn't matter, just the distribution, the version.
Software. All right.
And then the browser.
Okay.
See if there's a common denominator.
Okay, understood. So the action item is to confirm with those persons having trouble to get the software configuration.
Well, they're running Linux, so we just need to make sure that we know what distribution they have, what release it is, and then the browser version they're using.
Okay. Now let me ask another question. I mean... follow-up. This is Dave speaking. Sorry for the transcript record. Adobe Connect, I see that there's going to be a new version of Adobe Connect coming out. And is it that because Adobe Connect requires Flash on the desktop, because Adobe Flash Player on Linux has been, it's been depreciated in the sense that there's not going to be any further updates. Is this going to be an issue going forward with Adobe Connect?
Actually, this is Josh. And actually, Adobe Connect, we have already upgraded to 9.0, which is, we're actually on 9.2 right now. But that has already been deployed, so we've actively been using it. That is as of Buenos Aires. They did the upgrade just right before that meeting. So we are actively using that right now. So you shouldn't see any other issues with that. And so that's kind of why I want to troubleshoot the issues that you are having with the Linux guys, because that is something that we can go to Adobe with and find out if there's, a patch for it or if they're aware of it and kind of go from there.
Okay, great. Going on to the second point regarding collaborating on Adobe Connect features that many users are not aware of. In the conversation at Buenos Aires, Josh, you had mentioned that there are many features that that are now built into Adobe Connect that maybe many of us in at large aren't aware of. Do you want to just quickly to give one or two examples?
So I posted a link in the group chat down there, just on there, so if you guys want to go to that page quickly for those of you that are online. Now, this is inclusive of everything that Adobe offers, and so there are some things that wouldn't apply to us or that because we actually use Adobe servers rather than hosting it ourselves. So there is some limitation on some of the applications that you can do based on whether we host ourselves or we use Adobe Connect. But the ones that I want to point out to you are the custom meeting pods at the bottom. I've gone through personally and tested a lot of these. But in my mind, they're actually really cool. They're basically just Swift files that you upload as if you were uploading a document. I would encourage you guys, to go through and download them and try them. There are some that require services, like a subscription. There is one specific that I am looking at that we are testing, and it is called the R Phone. What it would basically allow for us to do is to install this application, and so if we had an Adobe Connect room open, we would be able to have sub-conferences within that specific room, and each of those sub-conferences could be a different language. So meaning that we would have one Adobe Connect room, but we could have up to 8 different languages. And so as the user logs into that room, then they would be able to pick the subgroup, basically the language that they want to hear. The downside to this, though, is it's still one room, so the text would all still be English and the presentations would all still be English, because to get away from that, we would actually have to have several Adobe Connect rooms to do that. So this is still very much in the infant stage for us. We are actively testing it, and myself and Corey Schrute are going through and testing this, and we'll probably have a group or two that we'll test it out on to see how it operates and just that it's reliable, because we don't want to get into a situation where we put it in production and people aren't having a successful experience, so we try to be careful about that. But some of the things that I want to point out is that there's if you look at, trying to find it here, the chat pod with question view. This is really something where if you have a chat pod going that you as a presenter just want to see just the questions in the chat, you can use this chat pod. And there are some selections that you can use as just the presenter only sees. So the one thing, I guess I should probably step back one step. One of the things that we're finding is that a lot of users don't have adequate training in Adobe Connect. So one of the things that I will be doing in the next couple of weeks is an in-depth three-course training on Adobe Connect. So it'll be basically a basic course, an intermediate, and an advanced course. Now, the advanced course, I'll go through, how to deploy these applications, how to use them, because I want people to be able to understand the experience that the participant has versus the experience that the presenter or the host has, because they're very different experiences, that can happen. Because as a presenter or a host, I have a lot more resources at my fingertips that are not available to the participant, but I can increase the participant interactions and their experience, as participants. And that's just even the built-in features to Adobe Connect. There's a lot that we can do, whether it's just how it's being viewed, that we can force out, for example, when I asked everybody to go to this particular web page, if we were in Adobe Connect, I could actually open that up on your machines for you, so that you would be able to see. So then I know that everybody's on the same page and actively paying attention. So anyway, that's kind of a quick overview. You know, I'd encourage people to go through, you know, and test these. There are some, you know, that are great. You know, the countdown devices, that type of stuff. I will, and if you have questions or whatever, you're more than, welcome to email me or give me a call, and I'll be happy to, you know, walk you through some of these. You know, and to be honest, some of them are good apps, and some of them, you know, are a little glitchy. So, yeah, that's pretty much everything that I have.
Okay. Thanks, Josh. Let's see. Does anybody have any questions? Anybody in the queue wants to raise their hand?
This is Bill.
Bill? Okay, go ahead.
I was one of the few people that could actually get it running on Linux. I would be interested in helping you trying to get this running. So if David wants, I can make my time available for testing.
Okay. Well, thanks, Bill. This is Dave speaking. I think that would be welcomed. And once we could document what would, if there is an issue, and what is the workaround, ultimately that would be very helpful for those persons having Linux problems.
Yes, I provided a document approximately a year ago when we first got it running. I'll dig it up and send it again. This is basically all of the requirements. I also don't know how much has changed since then. So I don't know how much of it is still useful.
Okay. Well,
This is David Clausen speaking.
Sure.
Go ahead, David.
Thank you, Bill.
That would be most helpful. I think it would be most useful to know the folks that are having trouble and what versions they're running. It might also matter the architecture, right? 32 or 64-bit. That may also play a factor. But if you could help us to collect that information, and then we could figure out if we have a particular browser or... you know, that is a problem. So we can get Adobe to answer that question for us. Get it fixed.
Okay. This is Dave speaking. Josh, just thinking about it, that our phone sounds very useful because that extension, I should say, for Adobe Connect, because then that would allow, if I understood it correctly, and just from reading, briefly looking at the description, it sounds like that would allow persons to select a particular language channel. So for calls that have interpretation, the problem right now with Adobe Connect phone is that only one audio channel can be broadcast. So sometimes, for example, for the Latin American and Caribbean regional calls, the audio channel is Spanish because most of the speakers are Spanish. Whereas the ELAC monthly call, it's English. Yet we have interpretation going on simultaneously in French and Spanish. So persons who wanted to use the languages not being broadcast on the AC audio, they had to, use their GIGO system, either requesting a dial or to try to dial themselves in. So that our phone sounds like, persons could then, use the computer completely for that. In terms of the other plugins, I guess I have to really double check all the extensions, but I suppose one useful extension that I can think of that will be useful would be something related to translation, so that when the person types something in a language, what has to happen is that you just have to copy that text, paste it in another browser tab in Google Translate or the Bing Translator and translate it. If there was something that offered a way to machine translate that, that would be wonderful. So I don't know if it exists, but that in my mind is one of the more useful functions in that for at large.
Yeah, this is Josh. I've been definitely looking because it's something, that has been on our radar for a little while. Have been actively looking at it. Now, the audio portion is probably most important in my mind for the first step, and just because it's the biggest hurdle for us to get over. The actual text part of it, we've explored a few options, but to be honest, most of it is pretty glitchy or just doesn't work entirely at all, at least that I have seen. But not saying that, that there isn't something out there, but I definitely have been keeping my eyes open for something like that. You know, and if any of you guys come across stuff that, you know, does, you know, live translation like that, you know, I'd be really interested to know on the text side, you know, be interested to know, you know, if that works for you.
Okay. This is Dave. And, well, finally, one thing. Well, Josh, I mean, you said you're working on developing a course or guide. If you're planning to do a printed material or whatever, I suppose I guess I would like to offer myself and I guess other members of this technology task force would be interested in helping. If you want to get feedback or anything of that sort, you know, we'd be happy to assist with this.
Yeah, that would be great. If you just want to email me a list of names that would be interested in the documentation, I'll be happy to send that over. It's still in development, so it may not be a couple of weeks before that happens, but
understood.
Yeah, definitely. That would be great.
Okay, understood. Great. All right, great. So let's see. Not seeing anybody else raise their hands, so I think we can move ahead with the next agenda item. And this is the agenda item. I titled this Ideas for Improving the Organization of At-Large Content for At-Large Working Groups. One of the things that we'll be trying to do is look at how content created by At-Large, and there's been complaints about the organization of it. It's sometimes, and people have often complained that it's because there's so much information, and because there's so much information being newly generated practically every single day, that it's difficult to find the information that they need. And so one of the tasks we were trying to do is to look at ways with which perhaps it could be better organized. And one of the things that we were trying to look at is perhaps in order to test certain ideas, we should have a separate installation of Confluence. Confluence is the platform that runs the wiki software. So the idea would be that to have a separate Confluence instance that will be completely independent of the Confluence installation in use by ICANN, including ICANN at large and all the AECs and SOs. And have a copy of the ALAC space to be able to just manipulate and reorganize. And then also having the admin access to be able to, well, install and uninstall plugins and our teams. So Reed Quinn, who I believe is like the person in ICANN for Confluence, is this possible to have a Confluence installation set up and to so that we can try to experiment with it and to try different themes or plugins and so forth? Reed, you can...
Yep.
Go ahead.
Hi, this is Reed. Yes, Dave, this is entirely possible. I actually have my own dev environment where I have been testing some things, such as translation tools, and there is a macro that is working from Bing that will actually perform that function, and we're actually testing that. It's just that it has to be added individually on a space by space basis. I can actually show this to you when we do this installation, but yes, this is entirely possible. There's many things I'm happy to help with.
Oh, okay. Okay, great. In private emails, I've said that there's probably would be no more than 4 persons of the technology task force, including myself, that would want to be beta testing this. But I'll put the call out to the technology task force list, asking which persons we're willing to get admin access to a test installation of Confluence. So that will be one action item for me to do, to email the technology task force list for persons willing to be part of the beta testers for this new Confluence installation for us to try new ideas. And I'll get that sorted out. And if for those in the Lucid meetings rooms, I've put in the notes regarding the scope of the Confluence installation. Sorry. And some Confluence plugins of interest. So, I see Reed, you've already commented on a few of these, that, for example, the Zen Foundation one, although it did work, it created potentially more problems it created more problems in usage because it changed the back end of Confluence a lot, so that as I understood it, if you had to remove it, it left the Confluence installation in an unusable state. If I understood your comments earlier.
This is Reed. Yes, actually, that is correct. It's a very undesirable effect is left. I mean, there's macros that you have to add after that in order to make up for. If you create pages while in it, then they all are dependent upon that macro. It's a bit of a mess. I would highly recommend against using Zen. If that's at all. I mean, you could try it. It's and I can clone the installation that we make for you in case it does come to that state, and we can revert. But I'd highly recommend against Zen, and it also limits many things that you can do. For instance, there was a translation tool that we had from AppFusions. It's not compatible with it. If they get that working again, it's just not compatible with Zen. So that it does limit some other options for other plugins.
Okay. This is Dave again. Well, you brought up the issue regarding the translation tool, and even though it's further on our agenda, I guess we can answer it now. The translation tool was actually very welcomed by AtLarge when it was first installed. I just noticed now in the recent upgrade in Confluence that tool was removed. You were saying that it's because of a problem that could be resolved so that that translation tool can be put back in?
This is Reed, and the thing is it stopped working well before that. In August, when we had to renew our license, we renewed it ahead of time, and that's when. We had to upgrade the plugin for the new license to work with it, and that's when it broke. And I've had tickets open with them; they've since ignored me. We've tried upgrading Confluence, thinking that might help it. Tried many things, but their support. I mean, it's a free plugin, and one of the indicators of it was it used to be when we first installed it. It was available through the Atlassian marketplace, whereas now it's no longer available through there. They dropped it. So I'm not really I don't really want to rely on that. If it works great, it's really nice. It integrates within the entire instance. Whereas right now, with the Bing macro, it works. You can add it on a page. You can add it as a space template, so it shows up on the left hand side, which so far I believe is the best placement for it. But like I mentioned earlier, you're going to have to add it to every single space where there is many. This will work with Zen, however. This macro would in fact work. I have tested that with Zen. An easy fix, trying to add it to the entire site, you can do that. It's just it doesn't put it in a very nice place. We could change the theme that's a more space-friendly theme that we're using now. I've actually gone through and tested it, and it just kind of puts it like right either on the upper left corner and leaves like a bunch of white space there. We can maybe add some stuff there, but I don't really think that's the way to go. I think if we are going to use the macro for the replacement of that, it's probably going to have to be added on a space by space basis. You have a lot of spaces.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
But we could help with that if that's the case. If we really want to go that route, we could do that.
Well, this is Dave. I mean, I think that this is, well, for the two key spaces for us would be the Relo space, where we have the five Relo, the regional at-large organization spaces, sections, and then the ELAC space, where we have a lot of our documents and our comments and so forth. But I'll say the reload space will probably be the first space if I want to test it out and to make sure it works. That'll probably be the first space to really test it out. Because that's where we also have a lot of the multilingual persons from all over the world accessing those content from those pages. This is Dave again continuing. This Bing plugin does seem to be, well, if it's supported, then obviously, you know, and it works, then by all means, let's use that plugin. One of the things that also we got in the Translate plugin was that the theming of it, it was very hard for persons to see the word translate, so that persons weren't even aware that initially that, the translator plugin existed in the first place. So if there's a way to, adjust the theme or the plugin so that it's more prominent, that also would be welcomed. Any ideas? Well, I guess since that Translate plugin is quite important, is there any way of, do you have any particular timeline when that plugin would be available on the At-Large Wiki?
This is Reed, and actually, if you'd like, I can add it to one of your spaces today, and you can tell me what you think. And if so, I can go and add it to the others. But it's just a macro. It's not really a plugin that I would install. It's basically a template that that we could add. And it would be on the left over by where you have the drop-down menu for the navigation hierarchy. So I'll add that to one of your spaces today. Or I can actually add it to the sandbox so that only a few of us, and you can test it out there, but it actually does a little bit more than the one that was available through AppFusions. And the thing is that also, that AppFusions one also used Bing for its translation. So
correct.
This is basically just using Bing itself versus...
Okay. Well, this is Dave. I think that's a good idea. So if you want to install it on the sandbox and just let us know, then we can evaluate it and give some comments as to how it works. And then if it is working and you can then look to implement it on those two spaces, the ELAC space and the Relo space. Those are the two key ones for At Large. And like I said, the Translate plugin is very useful. So it'd be good to get that back working on the wiki as soon as possible. Reed, when you install the plugin on the sandbox, let us know, so we can get some feedback.
This is Reed. I will send you an email after I get it done today.
Okay, thanks. And I'll forward that to the list. Okay. So anybody else has any comments or questions? Screen twice. Okay. Not seeing anybody raising their hands. Okay, we can move ahead to the next agenda item. That is machine translation. And we've covered one topic, which is the wiki tool. There are two things that we have to look at. One was looking at the website translation tools and whether these tools could be used for the at-large website. There's two candidates. One was the Google Translate tool, and one is the Microsoft Translator or the Bing Translator tool. I was able to parse the tools and able to get the URLs so that we can test different languages. So what we can do is now forward these links to native language speakers and ask them to give feedback as to the quality of machine translation. I've provided two links here that basically translates the at-large website to Spanish using the Google Translate plugin, and also I believe this, and the second link is also for Spanish, translating the at-large website to Spanish. Yeah, and of course I can just manipulate the to field to change the language. I don't know if there's any one of the things that one of the action items that has come out is actually for us to email persons in the various reloads that speak multiple languages and get their feedback. So that wasn't done because of the Christmas break. So that's something that the Technology Task Force can do. And because we can just provide them with the links, it'll be easier for them to test it rather than have them, you know, manually go to a website and try to use the translation tool. It'll be quicker for them to just, hey, take a look at this. Does this make sense to you? I don't know if anybody has any comments regarding the technical nature of these tools. Anyone has any comments or thoughts? Okay. All right. So that's the machine website translation tools. The second issue is the machine translation of the mailing list. So just to recap here, the Latin American and Caribbean Regional At-Large organization has a translation tool for its two mailing lists. There's a Lacroalo EN list and a Lacroalo ES list. And I've documented like some of the key problems regarding machine translation between the two mailing lists. And there's been some work being done, but I guess I wanted to ask, well, persons from the ICANN IT staff, well, what's the situation with this, and when do you think that this will be ready for deployment? Well, I see Josh had to step off, I guess, so I guess that leaves David.
This is David Carson speaking. I've also got one of my developers on the phone. His name is Josh Jenkins. Josh, are you on the line?
Yes. So this is Josh Jenkins. I've been working on the translation tool, and so one of the biggest slowdowns that we've had is that the original tool didn't allow for much testing, and so we've done a bit of a rewrite instead of just the straight enhancements. The new code, as far as we can tell, already solves the four issues that were addressed. The major problem we have is that because we can do these testings, we've noticed that there are regressions with the new code. And Dev, you sent us an email recently to the test list, and you may have seen that there's a lot of extra MIME encodings that are showing up in these emails that it looks really ugly and it's not particularly usable. So we're continuing to work on that. And we're hoping to get something turned around, like start looking at this.
Sorry, this is Natalie. I do believe that Dev has dropped, so if you can just wait for Adiga to dial him back out.
This is Dave. Great. I've just dialed back in right now. So.
Okay, brilliant. Okay.
I'm sorry. So Josh, I realize you probably were speaking, and I completely missed it. So I apologize. I'm going to have to ask you to assist. Say it again. I think you've been made aware of the translation email issues. Why don't you go ahead? And so please continue, Josh. Go ahead. You have the floor.
Okay. So from the beginning?
I'm afraid so, yes.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Some of the issues we've had with the translation tool is that the original code did not allow for much regression testing, did not allow for much testing in general, so we did a bit of a rewrite instead of just doing these enhancements. The rewrite is looking good on many points. Those four issues that were addressed seem to be solved. However, because we've done the testing, we've noticed that there are some major regressions. And Dev, you sent an email recently.
Probably
all of the MIME encodings that are stuck in there currently, and that's the major regression that we see. We're trying to look at that early this week. My goal is to try and get that issue solved by mid-February so that we can try using that test list again and hopefully nail down anything else that might be needing to get nailed down before the next meeting.
Okay. Okay. Thanks, Josh. This is Dave. Well, is there any should be so just to make sure everyone is aware of it. So what happened was that in order to test the machine translation, two new email lists were set up, and this has been mentioned before in previous conference calls. So and myself and another person from on the technology task force, Juan Rojas, who's not on the call today, have been and Silvia Vivanco from ICANN staff have been on this list, trying testing the translation. So is it that we should still send more messages to the list now to continue testing, or should we hold back until you've made the modification to fix the regression?
So right now, thank you for your email messages. It has been great for testing. But right now, until that regression is, at least one of those major regressions is fixed, I wouldn't suggest further testing because you've already seen the quality. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you have successfully tested that, the subject line is getting fixed as per your points.
Mm-hmm.
But I would hold off on testing until further notice, which will hopefully be very soon.
Okay. Well, this is Dave. I should say, as a person from that has served as a secretariat from Latin American and Caribbean region, and I've been very involved with these LACRALO mailing list. Solving this or improving this is really, I think, super critical. And it was unfortunate that we weren't able to really show an improvement and demonstrate something in Buenos Aires, because obviously that would have been the ideal moment. I think even when it will be announced, and ideally before, well, I would say I would like to announce it before the ICANN meeting, before March, but the AT-LAT summit in June, which is coinciding with the ICANN meeting, where all the AT-LAT structures will be there. I think having this tool, having the mailing list fully ready, and in its improved form, would be greatly, greatly appreciated, to say the least. okay, so, well, Josh, obviously if you have new code you want to test and you think solves the regression, then and you want us to resume the testing, please, let us know as soon as possible so we can continue to test and see whether all the four flaws that I've identified have been fixed. I guess the question is, a related question, and given and there's been use of the Bing translation tool, is it that, well, how should I put it? I know that the Google Translation API, and it was at one point considered being dropped, and then there was an outcry, and then Google turned it back on but set a sort of pricing structure with that. Now, is it, I don't know how you've implemented this solution, but is it that you're able to then switch to, say, the Bing translation tool, or is it something that requires a total code rewrite or whatever? I don't know if you understand my question, Josh.
Yeah, that should not require a total code rewrite, but right now we're still relying on the Google translation.
Okay. All right, that was just a question that came to mind. Okay, I'm not seeing any other questions here. So, this is Dave again. So, obviously, Josh, we'll be eagerly awaiting your feedback as to when you're ready to have us resume testing, so that we can, get this list deployed.
Hello, Dave. This is Silvia Vivanco.
Silvia Vivanco, please go ahead.
Yes, regarding the translation tool, sorry, I didn't understand the question. My question is, we had the wiki with a good translation tool that, it had some problems, but pretty much we could understand the text, the meaning, and it was very useful, but now we don't have it anymore. So I wonder when will it be put back on?
Okay, this is Dave. Thanks, Sylvia. This is Dave. Well, it was brought up earlier in the agenda, but essentially, Reed is going to install a plugin in the sandbox, and it's going to be a slightly different plugin, but it uses the same Bing translation engine to translate the web page. So once he's going to install that today, and he's going to send an email to us so that we can then test it. And based on our testing, mm-hmm. we can then seek to have that installed on the Relo plugin, on the Relo space, mm-hmm. and on the ELAC space.
Okay, I would say that's extremely important because so far it was useful. The way it wasn't perfect, but it was many people used it. So even if we don't have it in, you know, like a perfect shape, it could be installed as it was before, and it would be okay. Many people have asked me, you know, from the Spanish speakers and also the French speakers used to use it all the time. So it would be nice to have it back.
Indeed. This is Dave. Indeed. Absolutely. So so hopefully that also that wiki translation tool would also be up and running very, very quickly. So since we've already covered 5.3 earlier, we can then move on ahead now to, let's see, next agenda item, which is the evaluation preparing web conferencing solutions. So we've been evaluating various web conferencing solutions, and we've tabulated the various features and so forth. So at this point, I just want to ask, well, this is more for technology task force members, but of course anybody can. I appreciate any contributions. Is there any other conferencing solution that we need to evaluate? I believe the only one that's been mentioned in previous technology task force calls was Cisco's WebEx as a conferencing solution to evaluate. And also want to ask as well, do we have any firm opinions now on the conferencing solutions evaluated? And, you know, is it there that there is one that, if you had to choose a web conferencing solution, what would it be? And is there a feature that you feel is missing from the conferencing solutions, be it Adobe Connect or Lucid? So, Gordon, I see you raised your hand. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Dev. Gordon Shulkos, for the record. I think we should probably evaluate WebEx. And the reason for that is that at some point we are going to have to present what we have learned to the greater community. And if we haven't evaluated WebEx, given that it's fairly heavily used, we're going to get the question, why not? I've actually already been asked this question outside of ICANN when I talked about what we and the CDF were doing. I think it's probably a good idea to at least give it a try.
Okay. Well, this is Dave. This is Dave speaking. All right. Well, I think then we have to look at. I think our next steps then. We'll set up a separate technology task force call to evaluate the Cisco WebEx system. I don't know whether there's a trial available or not. I have to investigate that myself. But I will work with staff and see if that can be done. So that's one thing. But this is Dave again. Gordon, and I guess this is a question for Gordon or to Bill. From all the conferencing solutions that we've seen so far, do you have any immediate thoughts? And is there any feature that's missing from the conferencing solutions that we use now? And, for example, if there's a particular conferencing feature that we think is missing, well, maybe in Adobe Connect or in Lucid, there are plugins available or so forth. So I just want to get some ideas or feedback. Gordon, go ahead.
Thanks, Dev. Gordon Chilcott for the record again. This question of features is a kind of an interesting one, and I don't have any experience as a presenter with any of these. That is a question that I think really should go to the presenters. However, I will try to wrap my brain around that one from our participant's point of view. It's an interesting question, but I'm not sure I can answer it.
Okay. Well, Bill, if you any thoughts on
again, he pretty much said the same thing I did. This is Bill, by the way. One of the features I have noticed that is missing is private chat between individuals that are in the conference. I don't know if that's a big deal between, and I haven't seen any group actually have it, so it's one of those nice-to-haves that no one has.
Okay. Well, this is Dave. I could be wrong, but I think Adobe Connect does have the private chat.
Yes.
Or are you saying that all these other solutions that you've seen so far, or could you clarify? Sorry?
No, I don't remember seeing that in Adobe Connect. I will have to go look at it.
Okay. Well, this is Dave. I think perhaps it's a feature that's enabled by the host, but there is a setting where you can, when you hover over the attendees list, you can see there's a little drop down that appears that says something private chat, and then a separate chat tab from the chat window or the chat box is then opens up, and then you're able to privately chat with those persons. I believe staff does this all the time when they're trying to, go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, this is David Clausen speaking. It definitely does have the ability to do private chat.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I guess I just never saw it.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, but yes, in the Adobe Connect, it is there. Because I've also been, I've also used it a few times. So you just have to move your mouse over the person's list, the name, and then a little drop-down comes up that says start private chat. So we'll look at the Cisco solution. But again, I think I'll put this to the list as to, is there a particular feature that we're looking for and also in terms of the solutions that we've evaluated, is there any particular favorite that we liked from all those previous web all those solutions that we evaluated? Okay, well, I think we've pretty much covered everything. I guess we'll come down to any other business. See, Gordon, you've raised your hand. Go ahead.
Thanks, Dev. Gordon Chilcott for the record. I'd like to put in a bit of an advertisement for the mailing list. We're not using it very much, and there may be any number of reasons for this, but we're asking each other a lot of questions here.
Yeah.
I really think that they should go to the mailing list, because there are a number of people who have not been able to attend these meetings for various reasons. I can think of at least one person who has a real problem with travel requirements for his job.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the things that we discuss should be available to him. And some of the stuff that comes up, things come up during the month that suddenly blow up in my brain, and I know that happens with Bill as well, and we really should be putting these things out to the list and saying, what do you think?
Mm-hmm. This is Dave. I fully agree. I would do a check mark if I could. But yes, I fully agree with you. And Dave, you really should be using the list more often. Simply because, sometimes you can't really wait till this actual monthly meeting to really discuss the things. It's to really work behind the scenes and so forth. So yes, I would fully agree. We need to use the mailing list a lot more and discuss the ideas to discuss ideas. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'm not seeing any other hands raised. Okay, and in that case, we have about 4 minutes. I'd like to thank our attendees, especially the persons of ICANN's IT staff, David Clausen, Josh, Anne Reed Quinn, and Josh Jenkins. Thanks for attending the call, and it's been very, very, very informative, and we look forward to seeing some of the things that we've discussed today on this call. And I think with that, so thanks to everyone. And this call is now adjourned.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Thank you, everyone. Bye bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Again, Happy New Year.
Yes, indeed. Happy New Year.